Wake up, everybody.
That's you, Dudley.
It's been a while.
He can throw that speedball by you, make you love like a fool boy. Saw him the other night at this roadside bar. I was walking in, he was walking out. We went back inside, sat down, had a few drinks, but all he kept talking about was glory days.
Wow. Welcome, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. You're listening to You Get the Blessing. And my co-host, Bob Belts, and I thought, what an appropriate way to start the show today.
You know, when I thought about the song earlier, not knowing who our guest is today, I was thinking, you know, you can kind of live in the past a lot, and we're all about living in the present and the things that are really important. And then I found out who our guest was, and it gave whole new meaning to the song because, you know, those of us that hit a certain age, the glory days, regardless of how glorious they were, our bodies are starting to take the toll on this.
And and you just had a major toll taken and got some help from our guests.
You know, my knee, I had a knee problem. I didn't know how bad it was. I went in and they did an MRI and I had torn my meniscus. And I didn't know who to go to. You know, I mean, I thought, who do you go see on a deal like this? Because I wanted somebody that was obviously, you know, competent. And so I sent an email out to, you know, my blast list, and I've got a couple hundred people, and I got sieged with a couple of names, and one of those names that kept reappearing and then people saying, you really need this guy, you know, to do it, was Tom Noonan. And so I called up and they got me right in and went over to meet Tom and walked in and found out we had a lot of sort of common connections. Tom is you know, at the church where I used to be for a number of years. And so he cut on me. I mean, he scoped me. I was up and walking like in 2 days. It was unbelievable, you know, they can do these days, and particularly when you got somebody like Tom.
So Dr. Tom Noonan's our guest today. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Oh, thanks very much.
We're pleased to meet you, and we're pleased that Bob is such a success story. I don't know if every one of your surgeries has gone this well, but he's sure bragging on you.
Well, I was glad to see him not on crutches when I walked in today.
That's right.
That would have
That's
been
right.
disappointing.
That's right. We aren't having the show on insurance liability today. We're this is the healing show. So
amen. And Bob is well known to our listeners and many other folks because of his abilities as an author. I think he's written 12 books and is a consultant in the movie business. But for those of listeners who may not know Bob Belts, tell us other famous people that you've operated on, Tom, just so we can have a quick connect with the folks that are listening. Because I know of a few, but I'd rather you say it.
Yeah,
is that
well,
okay?
It's fine. What you know, as you know, you can't really, if stuff's not public knowledge, I can't talk about it. But
good.
The public
gotcha.
Knowledge stuff, I can. So I'm fortunate to work with the Rockies baseball team, and so I've operated in a number of those guys. So even the guy you probably have heard of the most recently is Jeff Francis.
And how is he doing?
Jeff's doing great. You know, of course, until he gets back on the mound, you never know. But his rehab has been really smooth so far.
So good. I didn't want to say that. Yeah. It's okay to talk about
it. I did know that after the surgery, they didn't ask for an autographed picture of me to hang in their hallway, though. So I don't know what that means. So,
well, you
know,
see, get them one
no
of your
jersey,
book covers, man.
No jersey, I could, you know, maybe a T-shirt. I don't know.
Jeff Francis
That's
just
it.
Throws a little better fastball and
That's
curve
it.
Than you. So, Tom, tell us about what it was like around your home as a kid and what it was that maybe drove you to medical school and to be who you are today and do what you're doing today.
Yeah, from the medical perspective, it's interesting because there's nobody in my family that was in medicine, and yet it's something that from a young age I've always wanted to do. And I don't know exactly why. I do orthopedic sports medicine now, and I'd say that particular field, I got a lot of interest from my own injuries and, you know, liking sports a lot. As far as my family, I was very fortunate to be raised in a Christian family. I was born in Detroit, lived there, lived in Cleveland, Ohio, have a brother, and, you know, like I said, had a nice Christian background.
Cleveland, Ohio. I logged a little time there when my dad was playing for the Indians. But
is that right?
You weren't quite around yet. 40, 40s and 50s.
Was he there in 48?
Mm-hmm. Hit 336. Now, how do you remember that?
Well,
you heard about it.
Well, you know, I grew up in Cleveland, so I still root. I obviously root for the Denver teams, but I root for the Cleveland teams, and I know the long suffering history of Cleveland, and their last, you know, World Series was that they won was 1948.
That's a long dry spell.
Yeah, 61 years ago.
Yeah, and my dad was a great player, and so I was born in 49. So the whole time I knew my father, he had that 48. World Championship ring on his right hand.
Wow.
Never took it off. And now I have it. He passed away in 87, so I'd rather have my dad, but I got his ring.
You know, Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is another place where my picture is not hanging, but I probably would have rather.
Really, you're going to really pull me off here. You've been there a few times, Rock and Roll Hall?
I actually haven't because we had moved from there when they built it.
I'm not sure how we got on this subject, but I found a Bible hanging on the wall in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that on the cover of the Bible said Dion DiMucci.
Uh-huh.
And then they had an open page or two. Yeah. Kind of copied next to it with some notes in it. And I was thinking, see that?
Yeah.
Run around Sue wasn't the only thing he was focused on.
That's right.
Hey, so, Bob, by the way, if you want to bring a signed T-shirt, I promise you we'll frame it and put it in the hallway.
You'll put it the hallway.
Never said that.
Right. That's
right. He shouldn't have said that. He'll come up with something worse than
that's right. You know, when we, you might appreciate this, but when we built Cherry Hills way back when.
Community church. Not
and,
golf course.
We had decided not to have anything that had people's names on it, you know, like this window dedicated.
Don't tell this story.
We only had one dedication plaque in the whole place. I won't tell you whose name it was, but it was over the urinal. It was a memorial urinal. So that's probably where my picture would go. But,
you know, I didn't mind you saying my name. That was the part I didn't want to tell. Yeah, that was from Belts to Me. Opening Sunday, March 7th, 1982. So you come out of med school and launch your career, and now are probably, certainly in this part of the country, known as one of the best, and yet you have your eyes fixed on a greater healer than even you are. So tell us about how you first encountered Christ and made a decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah, well, as I said before, you know, I was fortunate to be raised in a Christian family, so I definitely was you know, kind of indoctrinated in Christianity. I was confirmed Lutheran, did First Communion as a Lutheran, and then I must say through kind of college, med school, and then we have what's called residency is when we do our orthopedic surgery training. I drifted. I mean, I think if you would have asked me, "Are you a Christian?" I absolutely would have said yes, but you know, wasn't really going to church, wasn't thinking about God the way I should be. And I could sit here and give excuses about it, you know, the long hours and it's hard and all that. But in reality, I'd kind of drifted. And what really brought me back was my wife. I met her near the end of my orthopedic surgery training, and she's a real strong Christian, and she really kind of brought me back.
You know, this happens a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Guys meet the right gal, and they say, you know, here's how this is going to be done. And they're like, okay, let me rethink my position on that. That's okay.
Yeah. No, and you know, and God does things for a reason, and so I think there's a reason. Obviously, He sent her to me, so after we met, you know, I really got back into the church, and have been, you know, strongly committed ever since then.
Bob's the one that taught me this actually 30 years ago, but the first answer is yes or no. Do you receive Christ? So obviously, your answer was yes, and you were raised in that background. The second question is, do we choose to live obediently, make right choices, grow as Christians, or just go back to our old ways? And your position in Christ really doesn't change once you accept Him, but your condition is constantly changing as you do things right or wrong, make good decisions or bad decisions. And Bob was just teaching me that we all go through those times when our condition doesn't feel like it's quite what it should
right.
be. But.
And unfortunately, and then there's a lot of great Christian physicians, but you know, medicine is really grounded so much in kind of worldly things and science and what we can see and what we can prove, that it's easy sometimes to get too carried away with this world. And again, things we can only see here. Mm.
You know, I've preached before on the subject of excellence, and I see no conflict in being God's man or God's woman and striving to be the fastest, the strongest, the best athlete, or the most prepared, wisest businessman, or the most skilled surgeon in the world. I see no conflict with trying to do all that and still being God's man and having the order straight on who's in charge here. But I do also see a frustrated world that says, you know, I'd rather have a really smart, two-fisted, tough, non-Christian attorney that's going to take care of me than a Christian that's just kind of going through the motions and going to get me in trouble because I'm not covered legally. How do you view what I'm saying there in terms of your job as a physician? Because you can be both, and I think we should be both. You should be the best.
And absolutely. And you know, the other interesting thing in medicine, I always tell people, I mean, we can, you know, I talk to Bob about a surgery and say, you know, there's a, you know, 95% chance you're going to do well and the risks are low and everything like that. But there are no zeros and no hundreds, and things happen beyond our control, both good and bad. And it's hard for me to believe. I know that what happens is not just me. I mean, God definitely plays a role in my life and what happens to my patients. And I pray for my patients. So I think absolutely you can be the best physician or lawyer or athlete or whatever you want and still be faithful to God and still ask for his guidance and his help.
In fact, I think it's a little backwards to take credit for being these other things without acknowledging our Creator and who gave us the human skills and the spiritual gifts in the first place.
Absolutely.
That seems more backwards to me than the other way, and yet somehow that's got confused, I think, over the years, hadn't it, Bob?
I think sometimes, you know, you need to go through an experience in your life where you know, maybe realize, you know, apart from, you know, the grace of God or God enabling me, I really couldn't even get out of bed in the morning, you know, and then to be able to kind of start looking at really how much of who you are and what you're capable of doing and any kind of achievement or accomplishment you've made and just recognizing that, you know, it's really, there's a lot of blessing and grace involved in that stuff.
Amen.
Yeah.
I can remember though, back in the days, the glory days of being an athlete and the difference between losing a game and winning a game and how much harder it was to push through the pain of playing against somebody that was great and winning the game. It was a lot easier to lose than it was to win, especially championships. But do you still face that, even though you're skilled and on down the road in your career? Do you still have to just kind of push through some of the pain involved with the disciplines necessary to be as good as you can be to help your patients?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's I love what I do, but I do tell patients. I mean, one of the hard things about what I do is, again, back to that no zeros, no hundreds. So I can do what I think is the perfect surgery and the perfect patient that does the perfect rehab, and sometimes it doesn't work out.
Hmm.
And, you know, that's a tough thing. I'm a kind of obsessive compulsive perfectionist. And that's a tough thing.
That's a good thing for a doctor.
It is a good thing, yeah. Yeah, I always tell patients, you know, I'm kind of OCD and neurotic, yeah. But I said that's
well, that's
a good
actually
thing
in my
surgeon.
Email what I ask for. Do you know any doctors out there that are so nuts that
Tom
they
Newton.
Will make sure? No, just kidding.
Yeah, but it's and then there are other times when you think, you know, God, this is a really bad problem and I'm not sure we can help this person. You still do the best you can, obviously, and then they do great. You just realize there's more to this than just me and my hands and my thoughts.
That's good. Introduce us here, if you would, to your family.
My wife her name is Pam, and we've been married, I guess, 12 years, just had our 12th anniversary.
Pam, way to go getting Tom back on the straight and narrow.
And I've got two children, both little girls. Caroline is 8. And she just finished third grade at Cherry Hills Christian. And then Catherine just finished kindergarten at Cherry Hills Christian, and she's 5 or 6, rather. Sorry, Catherine.
It's great.
So what's your future look like? What are you most excited about? Family, work, ministry? You got any?
I am. Like I said, I love what I do with work, but I mean, obviously being a Christian is a wonderful thing for the rest of my life. I mean, right now, beyond my religion, the thing I'm most excited about is my family. I mean, you all have family, and you know, raising kids is, yeah, it's challenging, but it's the most fun thing you can do and the most rewarding thing. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Girls into sports now?
They are. Yeah, they both play soccer and tennis. The younger one also does gymnastics and dance, and then they, you know, older one plays piano and violin. The younger one plays piano, so they're real active kids.
You know,
please.
I was just wondering too, maybe for some of the guys that are out there listening and you know, are in a kind of high stress, high pressure kind of a environment and career, maybe not medical. What are a couple of tips that you'd give those guys to kind of try and stay on track? Because you obviously have, you know, I'm sure maybe wrestled through that. You're doing a good job. What's been important to you in terms of, you know, kind of staying on track, both with priorities and your family and maybe also in your walk with Christ?
In terms of, like, balance, you mean?
Yeah, or, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing obviously is to give your worries to God, because, you know, obviously we all have them and we all have tough times, and especially with something like I do and you're dealing with people's lives. And like I said, there are tough situations. You have to be comfortable that you're going to do the best you can and give your worries to God. And then the, you know, with respect to balance, the biggest enemy in our lives, in our family's lives, is busyness. Yeah. You know, it's just trying to handle it all. You know, I work a lot of hours. I want to be with my kids, spend time with them, spend time with my wife. And it's very, you know, life is very seductive. I mean, it's always easier to say, well, I could see more patients, do more surgeries, work more time. And I think you have to resist the urge to let yourself get carried away with that. And I've known a lot of, you know, physicians' kids, unfortunately, that had some, you know, wonderful physicians as parents, but they would say to me, you know, I never saw them. I dated a girl once whose dad was a cardiovascular surgeon. And when she was like 4 years old, her dad walked in the house and she ran to her mom and said, "Mommy, mommy, there's a burglar in the house."
Oh, wow. Ouch.
And this guy's a good guy. He'd gotten carried away with his career.
My brother-in-law, Jim Geddes, is a heart surgeon. And I noticed he was always on call, and it took a toll on his family. He's doing great now. I think this time around, he and his wife, Erin, and their little family are doing well. But it's just tough to know how to make those choices.
Yeah, and it goes beyond medicine. It's just a tough balance for all of us trying to make it all work.
Yeah, a lot of people depending on you not taking an hour off, much less a day.
Right, right.
So when you do, it's all messed up. Yeah. So I'm kind of a baseball guy myself. Since I told you my dad was Cleveland, and I wonder, are those motions in sports, so kind of like what Bob was talking about earlier in the show, as we break down, are those just designed to wear out the parts sooner than if we were doing something else like selling cars or working at Nordstrom's?
You know, that unfortunately, to some extent, they really are. You know, especially like with reference to baseball, pitching is about the worst thing you can do to your shoulder or your elbow. And so, we can kind of patch him back up and so forth, but it takes a tremendous toll, you know, on the arm. And I think other things too. You know, I worry about, you know, distance running for a lot of people is a great form of exercise, but it wears things out too. And that, you know, this gets back to this kind of worldly obsession a lot of people have too. I find some patients come in and they're very frustrated because, you know, they've got degenerative processes, yet they just can't get a grasp on that because they can control their work life, they can control their home life, they can't control their health. You know, God didn't program us to live forever. Nah. And so things do wear out. And yes, certain sports do accelerate those things.
So what would you say to a dad listening to the program today that's got a young kid and there's pressure on the kid to not only throw strikes as a pitcher in Little League, but to throw as hard as he can, and then to start throwing breaking balls and putting that strain and stress on his elbow? Would you tell him what I would tell him, which is just kind of have fun till you're in the eighth or ninth grade and
Absolutely. That's actually a huge kind of pet peeve of mine. I really don't like where kids' sports are heading, because everything's turning year round. You know, they're taking 10-year-olds and trying to force them to do one sport, and it puts them at more injury risk. And more importantly, they psychologically burn out. I mean, there's kids that get, you know, play year-round sports, and all of a sudden they're a senior in high school, and they say, I don't want to play anymore. And I always tell parents, I have a habit of, I love asking our Rockies guys kind of what they did as kids. And yeah, you've got some kids that played baseball year-round, but you'd be surprised how many of those players played multiple sports at least into high school. And I think if you have the God-given ability to end up at that level, you know, with the hard work, you end up there. And if you don't have the God-given ability, you know, you're probably not, no matter how many camps you go to and how many private coaches and so forth.
Yeah, you can improve a little bit, but it's got to be almost like a special touch from the Lord that you got to.
Exactly. You can't take every kid and make them hit like Todd Helton.
Yeah, or any kid for that matter. Yeah. Nobody can hit like Todd Helton.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can do it the way I did it. I went ahead and played two sports at the University of Colorado and ended up stinking in both of them.
So yeah, right.
I should have specialized a lot sooner. So Tom Noonan's our guest. This is You Get the Blessing, and I hope you're being challenged as you hear his personal story, his commitment to Christ and his family, and being challenged in your own life to just think about priorities, because sometimes life is seductive, as the doc said here, and the busyness hits us so hard that we think we're making good choices, and somehow we wind up somewhere in our lives we didn't mean to be at the start. So, Bob, you and I used to spend hours teaching this to men who were just trying their best to provide for their families and excel, win at what they were doing rather than just be mediocre. And at the same process, there was a cost in terms of their families, and they messed it up.
I was thinking about how on an earlier show we had talked with the ladies from MOPS, you know, and that's kind of this time in life. They've got young kids, but the dads, you know, are kind of at the same time that you want to be given, you know, as much attention as you can to your kids. It seems to be the, you know, the time in our lives and our careers where we have some of the greatest demands on us. And as Tom was saying, boy, just trying to, you know, find a balance and a way to make the tough decisions and calls on that's really hard.
And I think too, I've been kind of preoccupied with this for about 3 months, but I think like what you do for a life, Bob, what you do, writing books and speaking, is harder than what I do or what a lot of other people do. I think it's more difficult. I think there's more pressure, and yet I like the pressure that I'm under. I think some people kind of resist the fact that life is pressure. I'd rather just embrace it and say, yeah, I'm supposed to be good at this, not just average or getting by. But this whole concept of winning, losing, being the best you can possibly be, and like we said earlier, matching up with being God's man and humbly submitting to his will, and the fact that, you know, he's on the throne, not us. He's in charge. It's an interesting tension, I think.
Yeah, and you know, a friend of mine who's a financial advisor said to me once, he said, you know, there's nothing about retirement in the Bible. I mean, God, not that he wishes us to have, you know, slave lives, but he intends us to work hard. And that's always one of those paradoxes too, because I've seen a lot of people that kill themselves to like retire, and then they get there and then they're unhappy. And some of my healthiest patients are those that continue to work forever, you know, and maybe not the same pace and same intensity, but you're right. I mean, God, I think there's days when the pressure seems a bit much, but I do like the pressure. I love what I'm doing, and I'd like to do it as long as I can.
I think you're going to do it a while longer, because I know my parts are all getting ready to fall. don't go away too quickly. And speaking of the Rockies, I just want to say, I mean, none of us know exactly what's going to happen with Clint Hurdle, but I want to say Clint and Carla Hurdle are two wonderful people, and I know everybody in that organization feels the same way. Things change, stuff happens, and again, I got nothing to do with it, but I just want Clint and Carla to know we love them, and we're praying for whatever God has.
He's a spectacular guy, and he's a wonderful guy to work with. I would echo your sentiments.
Well, I'm glad you said that. And the gift he gave to this town and this state, taking us to the World Series, being a part of that ride in terms of just his spirit and the way he managed that group, praise God, because that's a gift we haven't been given too often. Well, thank you, Tom Noonan, for being our guest today. Bob, any closing words here?
Thanks that I can still walk, Tom. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bob.
It's a good word. Lori, thanks for picking this song today. We never say we love you, too. And we'll see you next time on You Get the Blessing. Stay with us, y'all. Every week we're going to introduce you to guests that will bless your lives. So thanks, Dr. Tom Noonan.
Thank you, Bill.